Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rigid Roosters podcast. Coming at you for the second week in a row, my name is Cody.
I'm Heather.
And with us today, we have a very special guest. Guest, what's your name?
I'm Haley.
Hi, Haley. Nice to see you.
So, Haley, when we reintroduced ourselves last week, we kind of give a little bit about ourselves. So, like we said, our dynamic, where our age was, kind of what we're interested in and why we're in the lifestyle. So do you want to add any more to just Haley?
Hi, my name is Haley.
And she is not an alcoholic.
She was going to steal my joke from last week's episode.
From mom. No. Yes. I'm 23, single, and...
Looking to mingle.
Yes, looking to mingle. You know, hit me up. I'm just hanging out with Heather, and I really enjoy being in the lifestyle.
Good. These are all good things.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring out what I really want within the lifestyle and everything, so.
And I think that's something you will continue figuring out. That's something we're both still figuring out. Sure. So, yeah, it's a journey.
I guess people would say I'm a unicorn.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that's a good topic for us to talk about, too, because unicorns are talked about so negatively in our
world. And they're so rare. That's why they're called unicorns.
Well, yeah. I really don't think they're that rare. It's just people being shitty about how
people are shitty about
them. Yeah, that's how the unicorns have gotten their bad name, because I love a good unicorn.
Well, and I don't know if... Like, I've seen where, yeah, it's unicorns that get a bad rap sometimes, but moreover, what I've seen is unicorn hunters. So it's the people that come on these Facebook groups or whatever, and it's a husband and wife only looking for a single female to play with.
Yeah.
That's it. And 90% of the time, those people are just looking to spice up their marriage, and there's problems that they're hoping to fix, and yeah, it's kind of bullshit. As long as it's an agreed-upon dynamic, it's fine, right? Like, sure. I get it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to judge it, because if both parties agree to it, then cool. But if you're doing it, like we said last episode, try to solve problems, you're going to have a bad time.
Yep.
For sure. So we do like to start each episode off by doing a check-in like we talked about last week. So, Heather, how's your head?
It's pretty good. We have, it's only been a day, really, since we've recorded the last, and we're trying
to our listeners, it's been a week. Okay.
So they're waiting on bated breath for this. Okay. Yes. As of right now, I'm good. It's Red Kingdom Friday. It's last preseason game. Chiefs are playing the Bears tonight.
And both teams are playing starters, so it should actually be a decent game.
So we're excited. I get to have my honorary kids come home for the weekend. I've missed them dearly.
Yeah.
Sleeping good.
Good.
Living good. Taking it all.
Good. Taking it all. Haley, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I set up my daughter's learning area, and I'm really excited to start homeschooling her on Monday.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You're going to pull your head out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or your hair out, not your head.
Hair out. Just because of that whole COVID business.
Yeah.
You know, the year
she is a COVID baby.
So
here I turned a double teacher.
Ugh. Yeah, so I got laid off, and we were doing teaching the kids and me, like, trying to find jobs, door dashing, things like that in that layoff. Mm-hmm. And I got put in charge of their PE class and their science class.
Yep.
And it history. Turned into, and history, yeah. The history class I can do. Like, I'm all about history. The science class, like, it was, what they were wanting me to teach was, like, it was boring.
Yeah. We had to find ways for us to spice it.
Yeah. So, like, we would do PE in the morning. We would start out the day, them running, and then they would go lift weights with me, because we used to have a barn out here that had a whole gym and everything in it. So they would go lift weights with me. And then science was right after lunch. We would go hiking out in the woods, and I taught them how to track deer, how to spot, like, different kinds of mushrooms, things like that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, like, their history class did make me want to strangle people.
Yeah.
A lot.
I agree. But I think I liked the capability of being able to kind of, we have to teach what they're telling us, but like the ways that we teach them.
Yeah.
To engage our kids to actually want to learn about it.
Yeah.
That part.
And I think that's what you're going to enjoy a lot, is you have the freedom to teach how you want to teach.
Yeah. Because she'll be pre-K.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Got them primed and ready.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
She's ready to
learn. And luckily enough, I was a substitute and pre-K teacher, so it shouldn't be too difficult.
It'd be like riding a bike.
Yeah.
I like it.
What about you, Cody?
I'm doing good. I got a really, really fucking good workout in this morning. Still riding the high. I got a new pre-workout, and it's super duper fucking strong. And I accidentally this morning, quote unquote, took a scoop and a half. So I'm still kind of feeling the spiders on my face from that. Yeah, other than that though, like we talked about last week, you know, still dealing with the anxiety, the depression, things like that, but it's not, when I have days like I'm having today, it kills all of that. And it just makes it, it's been a great day. It's been a good couple days. I'm just feeling good. So things are good in Cody land for sure.
I love it.
So we mentioned last week that we're going to talk about some things that you guys might have missed since we've been gone. We have been gone since, I believe, March was the last episode that came out before last week's. So since then, a lot has happened, right? Several parties at Club Karma, several different life events.
You were just overcorrected. February 24th was our last episode.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Our guest knows more about the podcast than I do.
Well, that's pretty typical.
But like I said, several karma parties, several life events, several times life has literally slapped us across the face with its dick. And then, yeah, it's been crazy. So we're going to kind of dive into that today. We're going to get into a little bit of a review of all the parties, a little bit of kind of what we've thought about each one of them. We'll get into what's been happening life-wise, career-wise, things like that. And then today, we will finally get in to the book that we promised you guys we would talk about last week.
And we're not going to make it super boring, just like we were talking about your girl here. My whole life thought I was going to be a teacher. So finding things to, I hate saying dumb it down because it's not dumbed down, but that's for me. I need the dumb down. So like my people also enjoy that. So yeah. I'm really excited for us to start breaking it all down. And just a reminder though, if it does sound like we are, or I am reading off a script once we start introducing the book, it's because I don't want you to miss out on an important point, right, or I don't want to get myself lost. But
and just, I'll still try to derail you as much as I possibly
can. And I expect that, and that's what that's what everybody loves. That's what we love. But
I'm also going to try to rail you.
You did just a couple minutes ago, so we are square.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's talk about the first party that they missed out on—the whiteout party. You want to tell them a bit about this? Because this one happened while I was at work. I did not get to go to this one. Heather and most often Haley end up getting to go to these parties while I'm gone. And I love getting to hear all about it afterwards. I like making the parties when I can, but just seeing these two have a blast it's fun enough for me. You know what I mean? So
I think that goes with your hot wife kink too, though, because you very much enjoy the retelling of stories.
I do a lot.
So let's see, everyone was dressed out for it. That's one thing I really like about Karma, is they have themes, and I want to say like what 90% of the time people are in theme. It was hard we'll get to this later. So just a quick, we just got back from one and it was 80s. Well, you heard Haley say she's 23. I'm born in 1989. So like I got to make the joke a couple times with some of our older friends. Do I just wear a diaper? Or like, what should I put on? Because I wasn't there.
You guys have still seen like movies from the 80s though. Like, you know what the 80s look like.
I mean, kind of, but it doesn't negate the fact that we still weren't there.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I wouldn't even thought of.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a different, we'll get that. That's the one we just went to. Right now we're just doing the white party. Haley, do you remember what you wore?
I wore, I think, a light blue baby doll lingerie thing and a white cardigan.
That's right. And tennis shoes. I think mine was just like one of those skort sets of a white jersey shorts and like a big fluffy or big old slouchy sleeveless, not sleeveless. Oh my gosh, a sweater, but like an off your shoulder sweater. And then I think can I say boobs? I forget.
Yes.
I thought, okay. Yeah, my boobs stayed out underneath the shirt, and so it was see-through, so that was my kind of being spicy or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, Haley, what are some of the things that you remember from it?
Now, listeners, keep in mind, this has been a minute ago, so there may not be a lot of memories from this.
I was going to say, this is probably from January.
The whiteout was from, January.
It was my first time, so I really just remember being full of anxiety the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to one of those clubs the first time is nerve-wracking for goddamn sure.
We did not go to the playroom that time. We both hung out, I think, in the couch area before they had redone everything. So we were just...
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
We were hunkered down.
The queen scared the crap out of us.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah. It was scary.
So moving on to hearts and hard-ons, I did get to go to this one. It was a Valentine's Day party at Karma, and it was a ton of fun. Unfortunately, we got to Fort Smith, and we decided to go out to dinner with some friends, and Miss Haley...
This is when she got food poisoning.
Got food poisoning. Oh, man. Yes. So we started the party, and she was looking kind of green around the gills, and then ended up getting sick, so I had to take her back to the hotel room, and yeah, I felt bad for you. I did.
Oh, but, we all did. Yeah. She was texting us, you know, to like let us know how she was while we were at Karma, and she was at the hotel down the road, and it was just awful.
Yeah.
But I also know she would have not liked us being there in that time either. Right. Yeah.
I did walk around the mansion.
Did you?
Like, looked at everybody's rooms.
Yeah.
I didn't look through anybody's stuff.
Yes, you did.
Don't lie. Liar. Somebody missing something?
Yeah. So this one was my first time ever getting on a stripper pole. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to put on a show. I had people cheering for me and stuff. That was pretty cool. Oh,
and you were feeling yourself, too. Yeah, it wasn't like an awkward, funny way. You were out there doing your thing.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was a good time.
So the Mardi Gras party. Did you go with us to a Mardi Gras party?
No.
No? Okay, so this one was just me and you. Mm-hmm. This one was a lot of fun. I got over some fear and ended up dropping my pants for some beads, and I was crowned King Ding-a-ling that night.
That's what it was. Yep. I wondered if it was the name or not.
I actually have, I have a picture on my phone of, I have
several beads.
Little me with beads around him, so.
Little me.
It was a good time.
Well, what do you call your dick then?
You're so goddamn funny.
I know.
So, and that one was, I got into it last week's episode, but that one was where we had the really fun time that you missed out on because you went hunting for snacks.
One time.
Mm-hmm.
One time.
You're never going to live that down. And then adult prom. You guys went to adult prom together. I was at work. So y'all talk about that.
That was our honeymoon because we got married.
Yeah.
Right before the party. Like, it was so funny. We were all decked to the nines. We were with our people. It was another couple. Well, I say another couple, but it was our friends. You threw me off because I started talking away from the microphone. Well, I'm sorry.
If you would remember to stay by that microphone, you'd be good.
It's just in my way. anyways, we went to a Mexican restaurant. It was delicious. We had big old drinks, and we were all decked out. The waiter, super nice, came over and like asked for checks, and we just said, you know, like them two, and then me and Haley. And was it right then he congratulated, or was it when we paid?
I think it was when we paid, because I paid.
Yeah.
And handed him the receipt, and then he was like, congratulations, you two.
Yeah. And so we just were like, I mean, we looked at each other confused, we looked at across the table at our friends, and we were like, what did he say?
What just happened?
So it was then decided she was buying her wife dinner that night. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to celebrate with our friends at the party.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody was dressed up all for us.
It was great.
It was a good plan.
And they've been hitched ever since.
Yep. They often fuss yes. who gets to open the door for me. So, yeah. I mean,
and
it's
we
a,
had what, honeymoon pictures? Mm-hmm. More honeymoon pictures, Cody.
We didn't actually get a honeymoon. Our honeymoon was in
a float trip.
It was a float trip, and then we took our official like honeymoon in 2019 when we took a cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we got married in 2013. So, but yeah, we got
next cruise was our honeymoon trip.
Okay. We came home, and then that next day, it was the big tornado and more. So I was helping out with that and stuff like that, and I just ended up working.
Yep.
That was our honeymoon.
Yeah. But no, our real honeymoon we went for like 10 years our college crew we'd always go float the river, and it lined up that we got married and like the next weekend was supposed to be that time. Mm-hmm. So I have some really great girlfriends back from college, and they had made like signs for us, don't come and knock in if the tins are rocking, you know. Mm-hmm. Silly things, and they had the goofy stuff for us because they knew that was at that time we were broke, barely out of college kids, so yeah. we didn't have anything extraordinary to go on, but it was definitely a fun float trip.
It was a good time from what I remember.
Yeah, from what I remember, exactly.
So in all of that, you know, we had talked in previous episodes about the fact that I used to work in North Dakota, and I say used to because I got a different job. I ended up finding a position open with a company that I actually started my career with, and it's based out of South Texas, but all of the work is here in Oklahoma. And that made it to where I'm home like I would say probably 80% of the time I get to come home at night. If I'm working night shifts, I stay in a hotel just because I don't want to, you know, disturb everybody coming home, and I also want to be able to sleep. You know, I do get to be home a lot more, and then when I go on days off, it's, you know, at most like a 2-hour drive versus a 20-hour drive. So that's a lot of fun, but it has been kind of an adjustment around here for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what are your feelings on you being home more often? I mean, obviously you're excited about that, but that also comes with new—
I mean, it comes with new challenges, right? I love being close. The biggest thing for me is, I've talked about before, there are— it sounds cheesy, but there are two different me's, right? Mm-hmm. There's the oil field supervisor guy, and then there's dad and husband. And previously, whenever I had that 20-hour drive, I had time to shift gears and, you know, and come down off of the work and be able to come home and just relax. Now I don't really get that. So I'm having to kind of navigate that, where I don't want to be too hard on the kids. I don't want to be an asshole to Heather. So I'm having to kind of navigate how to switch gears every day versus having to do it, you know, twice a month. So that is a little bit more difficult. And then another thing is, like, when I'm home, you know, the schedule is a 2-week on, 1 week off. So I've got to get used to being home more often and fitting into the schedule where I can. And that's kind of a new thing as well, right? You know, when I was home for those 10 days, we would often schedule things around when I was home.
Yep.
Right now, I just got to fit into the schedule however it is. Mm-hmm. And that's— it's challenging, and sometimes it can feel like, man, I'm just kind of in the way, you know.
Sure.
So there are times where I do miss being out of town. Just for the simple fact that I do get that chance to shift gears. I do get that chance to come home and, you know, not necessarily have to fit into the schedule, but the schedule is there for me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a different feeling, but really I wouldn't trade it for the world, because I do get to make the kids' sports events. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to looking at the schedule last night for Kobe's football, and on paper, I'm going to miss a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. But in reality, if I'm working close enough, I'm going to be at those games, right? You know, even if I have to get there after halftime or something like that, after I get off work, I'm going to be at those games. And so it's the ability to do that is really cool. And the ability to be a lot more involved in the kids' life and a lot more involved in your life as well. And I said that looking at Heather, is really cool. So
I'll also admit that, it's been a transition here. I mean, it's one I've always dealt with, because how he's talking about, like, sliding in when he was home for the 2 times a month, that was like, okay, this is go, go, go days when dad's home. This is when we're going to go see the in-laws. This is when we're going to plan this. Now he's here all the time.
Yeah.
So for—
well, 13 for, years, yeah, of the our past marriage, 13 years, I haven't been home all the time, you know.
So we are learning to navigate being together every day.
Yeah.
We're also we have to be very intentional about us having our alone time. And that's mostly me.
I found out that I need that too, though. I've got to have that time to myself. And you know, working those 20 days at a time out of town, I got plenty of that. Mm-hmm. And didn't even realize that I was enjoying what I got then. You know, and now, you know, we have to work that in. Mm-hmm. Where we each get our alone time, we each get time to kind of decompress from the kids, from
each other
from everything.
Even if there's not even if we're not fussing with one another. I've always been hyper independent, much to your dismay, but I feel like I've gotten softer edges since we've been together. Maybe not all the way softened, but, you know, at least chipped off a little bit. And so I'm 100% honesty here. That's a struggle for me. There are days where I think I haven't explained myself well enough to say, like, I need that. So when it comes to the point it explodes, it's definitely more like, I need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
I want to hit you. I want to hit these kids. I want to punch something in the wall, you know, like crazy.
You know, and this is going to sound bad, but, you know, like, I love being home. And like I said, I wouldn't trade it for anything. But also, we're used to me being gone.
Yes.
So if an opportunity were to come up where I'm making more money, it's a decent schedule, then yeah, I'm going to look at it, you know, because that is something we're used to. And I can actually work that in via technology, via whatever we have.
Sure.
To where I'm still a part of the kids' lives and things like that.
But we've always done it that way, but the kids have had you home. So yeah. It's, that's, while it might be an option if things get
well, weak,
they're not, it's not like your first thing.
It's not my first thing, but you know, you got to think about, we're used to this as a couple, mm-hmm. but also I'm used to that. Yeah. Right. That's what I'm used to. So as much as, you know, it's a transition for you with me being home, it's a transition for me as well. And I like being out of town. And I, that sounds weird to say, but I do. I liked being out of town because it gave me the ability to not have to shift so much. Mm-hmm. Right. So I do enjoy being home. I do enjoy, you know, being a part of the kids' lives. And like I said before, I wouldn't trade that for anything. But it's also one of those deals where I realized that me being out of town wasn't so bad. It yeah. wasn't as bad as I thought it was, you know. Yeah. It was one of those deals where I realized, hey, I actually didn't mind this as much as I thought I did. Mm-hmm. And now the next time, if that does come up, that I'm looking at that, it'll be one of those deals where it's not just major fucking depression all the time.
Yeah.
It'll be where, you know, okay, I've experienced both ways and we can do both ways, but now that I have to do this, it's not bad. So yeah. that's like a have to thing. If I have to go do that, then yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, because regardless of how we feel needing our own individual time, the kids are loving it.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, they go to do their own things. They have their own sports. They have their own friends. But we're a pretty tight-knit group, mm-hmm. a tight-knit family. Like, my kids are Velcro kids. Let's put it that way. I can't walk out of a room without somebody worrying about where I might be going or mm-hmm. if I might be leaving. So there's challenges all over the place, but the kids are really thriving, I think, having you home. And
yeah.
that just means me and you have to work a little extra harder on making sure we're getting what we need individually yeah. as well as a couple.
Yeah. And I think that just comes from talking, mm-hmm. you know, we'll talk with each other. And if there is a time where, you know, you need space, just say, hey, take the kids. I need some space. Okay, cool.
That's usually when I come and say, babe, I need to go drive.
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, it'll be the same way, you know, for me with you, like, hey, I need a day.
Yeah.
You know, just take the kids, go do something, or, you know, either that or, hey, I'm going to go drop the kids off here. You go out to Karma yeah. or you go, you know, do something.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, I mean, it is important that we take the time to retain our own identities, right? You know, it's, I'm not just dad. I'm not just your husband. I'm not just the eye candy that she looks at. You know what I mean? I am me. Sorry. And I've got to hang on to that, right? Yes, exactly. So, you know, taking the time to enjoy my hobbies, which I haven't turned on a video game in fucking months, you know, so I would like to do that. Playing guitar. I just recently started picking up the guitar and thinking about writing songs again. Taking the time to retain those hobbies is very fucking important. So when we do need that time, we need to feel guilt-free yeah. about saying, I need this time, right? And that's not necessarily advice for everybody because not everybody functions that way,
yeah.
right? But you and I are both very independent people.
Yeah.
You and I are both, we both have our own identities where we enjoy doing these things as individuals, mm-hmm. right? So we have to retain that.
Yeah. And so not to leave our guest star out of here, Miss Haley, coming from a single mom, how do you feel about juggling the lifestyle, finding new kinks, having a babysitter, making sure that part is taken care of so that you can express explore yourself more as an adult?
I would say it's a lot easier than like some of my friends that are my age and have a kid, mainly because I have my parents, mm-hmm. even though my mom is crazy. Mm-hmm.
We all got one of those. Mm-hmm.
But like, she's still willing to watch when I need it, or even if it's like, if I'm having a meltdown, like I have my best friend Jack, or a best friend of mine, who's always willing to take
my doctor. Okay. It's okay. Cody yeah. can bleep it.
I can bleep it out. 23 minutes. Right. Text me that.
I got 23 minutes.
It's okay.
So I would say it's easier for me, but still a little stressful.
Yeah.
Is there any way that could be helped by, like, me and Cody? Because I know a lot of the time when we're going out, you're coming with us. So
yeah. I would say, like, honestly, if you were to help me, it would just be coming over and sitting on my couch while I clean the house.
Oh, body doubling. I so get that.
Like, that's really what I would ask for help from you, because really when I'm going out, it's with you.
So. Yeah, so we're together anyway. Nope, I'm the same way. Cody's made fun of me for, not made fun of me in a mean way, but, I mean, I just do better if somebody's there.
No.
And one of my fellers is of the same mindset, where body doubling was a big deal. So we could not, we could have each other on the phone with one another on video call and not even necessarily be talking to each other or just randomly popping in to be like, oh, you're still there. And all the work would be done. So body doubling is real. I totally get it. I'll come to your house and watch you clean.
Cool, cool.
Help a little bit. But in the same way that I tell you when you're here, no, I don't need your help. So I can pay that back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I need your help with yard work.
I can do that.
Bubs for sure.
I have ideas of ways that you can pay me back as well.
I was also going to say, since we've got somebody in Scouts tomorrow, we've got two teenage boys that we will have to go over there and help.
That's true.
Yeah, the front yard was gotten too, but not
great. Not the back?
It's not a great job.
Oh, okay.
So, between the three of you.
I have.
Oh, never mind.
So he left. Yeah, if you'll take Kylie, I can take the other two over there with the push mower and the weed eater and all that. We'll get it knocked out tomorrow.
And not just two. You'll have four.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out.
Like, you can take my car and I'll take yours. Whatever.
Well, I can't hold a push mower in yours. I was going to take my work truck.
Oh, okay. And then we'll all go together.
Yeah. But tying into that, you know, the way you're going to pay me back is pleasure, right? And that ties into our next segment, right?
It does. Way to go. Way to find it. Like, you did that on purpose.
Segue point for me.
But he did not, y'all. So
I totally did.
He's just a hornball. So let's see. Well, you want to remind him of the title?
So the title of the book is The Ethical Slut. Who's it by?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Something Harris, Judy Harris, and Dossie Easton.
There you go. So the quote / theme of the day is pleasure doesn't require an apology. And the theme that we're going around for the day is pleasure versus shame. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times our culture in Oklahoma specifically, well, I wouldn't say specifically Oklahoma, the southern states where the church rules over all.
Yeah.
We are taught that pleasure is shameful. We are taught that anything that feels good has to be bad for us, right? And that's not even just sexual pleasure, like tattoos, they're bad. Mm-hmm. In anything that goes outside of that box that I talked about last week is bad, and we feel shame for that. So we had to overcome a large amount of shame to be sexually open we are.
Not just in the public eyes, but like we've even lost family members that were just not for it.
Yeah.
Didn't want anything to do with it. As soon as it came up, it wasn't a question. We were blocked and that was it.
Yeah. Well, and even with that, in allowing ourselves to feel the pleasures that we wanted to, we had to overcome a lot of shame within ourselves, right? Yep. There are things that I have experienced that I had a large amount of shame probably 6 years ago. Right before we started, I had a large amount of shame in internalizing that, right? Mm-hmm. And I had to overcome that to allow myself, like, hey, this is not a bad thing, right? This is not what I have been taught that it is. This is good. This feels good. It makes my brain happy. I'm going to do this, right? So how did you overcome, or how did you or do you continue to overcome shame to allow yourself to experience these things?
I mean, I guess I still have days of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, like, for instance, like part of the pleasure and play that we do is getting the compliments, is getting the external validation from others, but not believing it makes it harder.
Yeah.
So, yes, there might be a handful of people being like, ah, tall, well, Amazon, blah, 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 but that is hard.
Let's dive into that, though, because you have been taught that accepting a compliment is shameful.
Well, it's not, no, accepting it is me being vain or is me being conceited.
Yeah, and it's a bad thing. It's something you should feel shame over.
I shake it off or say, oh, thanks, or you're silly, and brush it off and try to change the point as fast as I can.
So that's something that you have to unlearn.
Yes, right?
That's something correct. That you have to, if this many people are telling you these things, there's a chance that it's true.
Or I'm just really nice and people like that.
No, well, you're also a dumbass.
You're rude.
If this many people are telling you these things, they're more than likely fucking true. So we have to overcome that shame of feeling vain, of feeling conceited, in order to accept these compliments. Because if you argue with everybody every time they give you a compliment, they're going to stop giving you compliments, right? I'm not going
to
stop.
I was like, I don't know. Y'all seem to amp it up more because it makes me more confused at what to do.
In the moment, yes. But if you keep arguing with people, they're eventually going to stop.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I don't want to be met with negativity every time I tell you something, mm-hmm. right? It's not fun. It's not a good time. And it's cute, yeah, but eventually it's like, no, I'm telling you this is the truth, right? Yeah. And you keep meeting with negativity, and it's not a good thing. It's not good for your brain. It's not good for my brain. So we got to overcome that, right?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm a little bit better. I still might, you know, blow a raspberry at somebody that says it, roll my eyes, but then I'll say thank you because
yeah.
For me, I don't know. I really have to push through.
You are trying.
Hearing my mother or somebody say, "You're so vain for like you know taking that compliment," and I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know that."
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's a big one, I think, for me.
And I can tell that, you know, that you are doing the work to make that happen, you know, and hell, I'll even say probably 2 months ago, if I told you you're beautiful, you would immediately shoot back, no, I'm not. And
sometimes
now,
that's just to irritate you, though. I mean, well, full stop.
And it
sometimes
does.
That is what it is.
It really fucking does. But now, if I tell you that, most of the time, you're going to say thank you. You might roll your eyes and you might shake your head, but you're still going to say thank you. So I can tell you're trying. You're putting in the work. And eventually, you're going to make yourself believe it.
I mean, that's like, when did we exit that woman out of our life in 2020? So
yeah.
I was 30 at that point-ish. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had 30 years of, even in my adulthood, mm-hmm. being told that how beautiful I was by her, but to accept it from somebody else, it was me being vain or me being conceited. So, I mean, 30 years is a lot to unpack from. Hell, 30 years is older than this guest star of ours over here, you know? So, like, I'm trying. It's slow, but yes, most of the time, if you get a giggly or an eye roll, because I know I've got some of my fellers and girls out there, I'm trying. Don't stop telling me I'm pretty.
Yeah.
I just got to figure out how to let you say it in a way that doesn't make my brain sound like nails going down a chalkboard, you know?
Yeah. No, I feel that. And I mean, I've had things I've had to unlearn too. We'll get to that in a minute though, but you are relatively new to all of this, right? And
to life.
to life. But I can tell just from the few times that you and I have been together that there are things that you are not, I'm not going to say, there are things that you're more confident in now than what you were a few months ago. And I don't know if that's a shame thing or if that is just a self-confidence thing, but what are some things that you've had to overcome in order to allow yourself to kind of just be in the moment with this stuff?
Really realizing that I have to accept my body for how it is now because I did grow a child,
mm-hmm.
and understanding that I'm still beautiful and loved and sexy and all the things with this new body.
Mm. It's hard to internalize that when you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't like what you see. Mm-hmm. I understand that completely. You know, something we've talked about before for me is body dysmorphia. Just hell, what, 5 years ago, I was a completely different person than I am right now. And when I look in a mirror, most of the time, except for like the past 2 days, I've had a really good past couple of days, but most of the time when I look in a mirror, I still see that same guy. I don't see the progress that I've made. I don't see when anybody gives me a compliment, I don't see what they're talking about. So I understand completely about how it's hard to accept that. Yeah, you might look good. You might be sexy. You might be hot. You know, it's hard to accept that. And I get it for both of you. I really understand. But we say at the end of every episode, right? Every single episode, we always tie out with love yourself because we love you, right? So I'm going to tell both of you, love yourselves. Realize that you're hot and accept it.
I was like, it's not that I don't love myself. Yeah, I totally feel I'm kick-ass in a lot of good ways. The looks.
I knew that was going to set both of them off. So
well, like, I know I'm awesome at a lot of things. It's just the look stuff that
yeah.
gives me pause.
Yeah, no, I feel it. I understand it completely. But like I said, you know, you've got to realize how fucking hot you are.
Well, I guess. But like, listen, I'm getting naked in front of people so easy now. Mm-hmm. Since
that is a big change. Like within the last year. That's a big change.
I want to say the last two because of where my tattoos have been. First the surgery, then having to be exposed for like the checking and then getting the tattoos in those areas.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get undressed in like 0.3 seconds, y'all. Like,
whoosh, yeah,
naked. And I don't feel we're doing it. Plus going to the massage, going, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. I think it really hit me probably a year ago when I brought it to your attention. I'm like, mm-hmm. do you know how many people I just get naked for, like, willy-nilly? Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people in Norman or Oklahoma have seen me just
whoop? You are a lot more confident in your body now, and I fucking love it. I really do.
Yeah. I think I just got used to it.
You're not seeing yet what I see, and I don't know if you ever will, but you are more confident in your body. 100%. You might have just got used to it. No, you're more confident. I can tell. Okay. The bathing suits that you pick out, you know, the all of it. It's amazing to see, for sure. So, for me, I've said before, I don't know how often that I've shared it on this podcast, but when I was a kid, I was molested by another guy. It was an upperclassman at a daycare that I was at, and we did stuff. And at the time, I hid it. I was ashamed of it because I had been taught that that was wrong, right? But also, I was ashamed because I enjoyed it, right? And then I felt a whole nother level of shame on top of that, right? So I hid that for a long time. I internalized that for fucking years. And it came out as, you know, I mentioned in a TikTok, I think yesterday, that I used to be extremely fucking right-leaning, like annoyingly so. I can't look back on my own Facebook posts that way, right? Because I was internalizing that, for lack of a better word, hate. You know, I hated myself. That led to the depression, that led to the anxiety, that led to all of it. And once I finally admitted that, I might enjoy the same sex, then finally it opened the door to
self-discovery,
to me allowing myself to feel that pleasure, to me allowing myself to feel these experiences. And, you know, overcoming that was really, really fucking hard. Because it had been, like you said, 30 years of me internalizing that, hey, this is wrong, I can't do this. And that's not just from, like, it's our culture in Oklahoma. It's anti-gay, it's anti-pleasure, it's you live by the cross or you don't live at all. Correct. And I can't get behind that anymore. I can't, because it's harmful to everyone else, you know what I mean? And I want to include everyone else, so... That's part of the reason we do this podcast. That's part of the reason why I will say those things on this podcast. Yes, I am bisexual, 100%. And I want other bisexual men in Oklahoma to know that you have a place. Being bisexual doesn't make you any less of a man. It doesn't make you any more effeminate than you want to be. It just means that you like things that you like. That's all that it means. So
tying that in with the ethical slut... their big thing is that pleasure doesn't require apology.
Right.
You live your truth. You live your life, and you do it freely. Mm-hmm. It's hard here in Oklahoma, the shame culture versus embracing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary. What about, like, people know that we're out, that Cody and I are out. You're definitely out to, like, our friends, but not everybody knows yours. So how do you feel about?
Like, are you asking, like, does my family know?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, what your shame versus your joy? Like, why aren't you all the way out or something?
I think I'm only, like, maybe a little shameful about it, but my parents growing up, me and my brother would always ask, like, what if we came home and said we were this? What if we came home and said we were this? My parents would say to me, go lick some pussy and then tell me if you like it. And then, okay. And then same for my brother, go suck some dick.
Yeah, you are.
Tell me if you like it, and then okay. But, like, they're very accepting about whatever we wanted to do. My mom's still, you know, crazy.
I was like, whatever. Which is wild, considering.
But, like, she's very accepting and better now with other people. Now, the lifestyle, my dad is like, you know, live your truth. But my mom is very, very against it.
Because it's a sex cult.
Yes, yeah. I'm in a sex cult.
Yep. Yeah. Me and Cody have completely mind washed her. Yes. She is under our control. Mm-hmm. She always leaves here boned and full of cum. Mm-hmm. Like, time, man.
I mean, that's not necessarily false.
But okay, but not all the time.
Not every time.
But I'm not in a sex cult.
That's true. But if you ask, like, a bunch of people that are close with our friends, their family, their friends, things like that, we are in a sex cult. We are cult leaders, Heather and I. You're definitely not the first person that's come to us and said, hey, this person said this, because we have lots of friends that have said the same thing. So
friends or teachers, or I mean just random people. That's my crazy thing, is I don't mind answering questions.
Did you see teachers?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I did. I don't mind being asked questions. I don't even mind it when people are coming where it almost comes off as not very nice because they're stumbling through how to ask what they're asking.
Yeah.
But there's a way to do that too without it making you feel shitty.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, that was just like a ask us the questions, but like filter it through your brain a little bit.
Well, and I think that a lot of the times when people come up to ask questions, because I get the same thing at work, you know, guys will want to ask questions, but they have no idea how to ask the fucking question, right?
Yeah.
So it comes out as shitty, but it's just because they haven't had time to think about what the question is that they're wanting to ask. So they're not necessarily being shitty. It's just that they can't think of a good way to say it right there in the moment, you know? And I've had guys come up and apologize like, hey man, you know, I wouldn't mean anything by that. I want you to know that. Like, no, I get
it.
Well,
see, I guess it's for me, if I'm going to ask a question that I don't know
mm-hmm.
how it's going to be taken, I say that. Like, yeah. I could be ignorant, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Or don't be mad, but I have a question. Can I ask? Blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah.
So I think just that's what I'm saying. Everybody's got their own crap going on. So take a second to think about how you're going to present yourself. Because me and Cody, we will answer your questions. We don't care who you are, if you're a preacher or not.
Mm-hmm.
If we can talk and we can do it in a grown-up manner, we'll do it.
Yeah.
But don't just be like, ew, so you're cool with your husband sucking cock.
Mm.
No. That's not the way we ask that.
Yeah.
Are you okay with your husband taking cock? You know, yeah. I mean, like, that's, you know, yeah. Got a tomato tomato here.
Yeah.
You want the same courtesies extended to you about your maybe monogamous life
mm-hmm.
or single life or whatever it is, then don't come after different lifestyles.
Yeah.
Unless you want that back.
You know and, what I'm saying? You know, and that goes into kind of what we were saying last week is our choices are who we are, right? So we have made the choice to be in this lifestyle. I have made the choice to be out about my sexuality. You have made the choice to be out about your sexuality. And we're very happy in those choices, right? So if you want to come at us and try to insult us based on those choices, Heather is very nice. She's just going to stop talking to you. I'm going to fucking bully you. I'm going to make you want to jump off a cliff because you're a shitty fucking person. So that's I'm going to take that as my job from there on out to make your life miserable. So if you want to go ahead, you know, I'm open for it. I will continue the discussion until you're crying. So there we go.
He's not that bad, you guys, or I'm there to stop him from those times. And maybe he is that bad when he's not here. so something we did last episode, when we were trying to tie in the ethical slut
mm-hmm.
with that. Since Haley's not here, I think it's a good, we can kind of go back over it a little bit.
But Haley is here. She's right there.
She wasn't then.
Oh, okay.
So what is, to you, what is a slut?
Let me think. Hold on.
Okay. While she's thinking, you know, as we've said, it's not a shameful life we live,
mm-hmm.
but it's about celebrating honesty, at least for me and Cody, between one another.
Yeah.
We always joke and not joke, but we kind of laugh and say that, oh, I'm losing my train of thought, that it's still hard to come to you with sometimes. And I imagine it's still the same with me, especially when we're talking about new boundaries or mm-hmm. something new that's being introduced. But that communication, if you're doing it right and you're listening and you're in this for the right reasons, not just to get boned. Unless, I mean, if that's what you're doing and you're everybody's on the page with that, then that's one thing. But
as long as everybody is on the same page.
Yes. Then,
Then it can be a freeing experience. It really can. Moreover, being honest with yourself about who you are, what you want, the things that you want out of life is awesome. It's great. And we're not knocking anybody who is religious. We're not knocking anybody who is monogamous. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're doing at all, because you have made the choices to be that, and that's fucking awesome for you.
Yeah.
That's great. For us.
Yeah. Let us make our choices.
Yeah. For us, the choices that we have made are awesome for us. They work for us, right? So if you want to live that life, you want to be pious, you want to go to church every Sunday, that's awesome, man. And I'm going to support you. If you break down on the way to church and you need a ride, I will give you a ride to the church. 100%. As long as you don't belittle me and the choices that I've made or my family and the choices that we've made.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Questions are one thing. Being hateful is another.
Exactly.
So we talked. Did you think?
Yes, I think a slut is someone who is very open and accepting about what they like sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that sluts are shameful of that?
No.
No? Because it's about celebration. When you break it all down, knowing your sexual being and what you like isn't bad.
Yeah.
You know, it celebrates, like I said, it celebrates honesty. And that's, in this world especially, when we're, I'll let Cody do that with his politics. It's a wild freaking world out here, y'all. And that's the least you can do.
Yeah.
But so, I will say, recently, at least to people my age and maybe even younger, like, slut is more of like an endearing
term. Yeah.
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 And that's like, fucking awesome, though. That's great.
Negative term.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me into my listener question. But the way we do listener questions is we're saying it to everybody. So hopefully we get input back from everybody. But we also ask each other these questions and kind of spin off of it. Mm-hmm. So my first one, based off like you just said, us talking about what slut is to you. You just said for you guys, for your age, slut's more of an endearment. It's like a power thing. Like, get it, girl.
Yeah.
You know, whatever boys say. get it, boy.
We say the same thing. Get it, girl.
Okay. So for you, this might be a different framed question. So maybe Cody and our audience, how would you look at your life? One more time. How would your life look different if the word slut wasn't such a negative connotation?
I mean, up to a few years ago, it would be incredibly different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because up to a few years ago, I couldn't admit that I love sluts. You know what I mean? I couldn't admit that I look at sluts on the internet. Mm-hmm. I couldn't admit that I am a fan of...
I mean, you could, but there was shame behind it at that point.
Right, there was shame behind it. And I didn't want to feel shame, so I couldn't admit that, right? But in the same vein, like, I don't know that it would have looked a whole lot different because you and I weren't in the lifestyle yet.
Yeah.
We hadn't made the decision to explore that yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it might have looked a little bit different because it might have been something we would have explored sooner. But realistically, not much different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot. For me, it doesn't really, that word doesn't affect me as much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's face it, I am a slut. And I've always said, you know, in college, I was a man whore for sure.
Yeah.
And I am a slut and I love sluts. But the thing is, like, that word does not affect me personally as much as it does maybe you being called a slut in a negative way.
Yeah.
Right? Because women do get that term a lot more, and it's meant a lot more as an insult when it's coming to you. You know what I mean?
Why do you think that is?
Because guys are fucking dumb. Okay. You know what I mean? Guys are dumb, and then a lot of the times when you're getting the insult from women, it's from women who are with guys that are fucking dumb. For some reason, there is this need among men to have pure, untouched women that, you know, they're the only ones that have conquered. Well, if you look at that and in the same vein, you want to go and fuck as many women as you possibly can. The two cannot coexist,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't go and spread your seed, but only have this woman that has only been touched by you. It doesn't make any fucking sense, right?
Yeah, women live on a whole different world.
Right, but the thing is, men don't look at that logically.
Yeah.
They are wired to want that. And a lot of the times, these guys that are trying to live that are really fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's face it, they're fucking dumb. They have not had any further education than about sixth grade. They have not tried to walk a day in a woman's shoes at all. They have not tried to understand women, even though they have mothers, sisters, things like that. They haven't tried to understand the world that women live in, and that makes them fucking stupid. And not even just ignorant. The fact that they haven't tried makes them fucking stupid. So they throw that word around as an insult a lot, and it's unfortunate, but the most that you can do really is berate them for it. You know, just let them know, like, hey, yeah, I own that, right? That is me. Yeah,
that you're right. That is taking away their power.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Make them feel tiny and they'll go away.
Yes. Before I get too far, how are we on time? Because I know we talked almost an hour and a half last time, so.
We're good.
We're good?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about pleasure. Well,
before we move on, how would your life look if slut was not, didn't have a negative connotation?
So, I grew up as the kiddo that had the purity ring, mm-hmm. and was ahead of, you know, youth group and doing all the things and making, you know, I was a good little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus and Sky Daddy was one little man that had all the power. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, shoot, again, going back to what living and with having my mother in my life the way as ingrained as she was in it. I mean, even up to my 30s, slut was still a bad word.
Yeah.
And did I want to, you know, like, I don't want my mom to think I'm a slut. But then there came a point where it was like, but I'm not, you know, I'm sharing my body, yes, but I'm doing it out of pleasure for myself, but for me and whoever is also there.
Well, and I think that even what you just said, though, puts a negative connotation on that word. And you said, but I'm not. No, own it.
Well, right? I mean, like if I meant then, if, I guess. If, I know I'm a slut now. Yeah. I mean, I totally will take schlong, whatever I want to do. Yeah. That's not what I meant. I think that was when I first started breaking through after we got her out, being able to have the options to look past.
Because it started out with us having an OnlyFans account, mm-hmm. both of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, overcoming that then was tough, you know?
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying about learning to share your body and things like that. But, you know, it's like we just said, you own it and immediately it loses its power, you know, or it gives it power the other way. Like, you know,
that's true too. Yeah.
For me, if I'm able to call myself a slut, then yeah, I'm fuck yeah, I'm a slut. I love it. You know, I kind of lost track of what I was trying to say there, but so,
don't you hate when that happens?
Yeah. So did you have any other listener questions?
I do. I just wanted to make sure we touched back and got an idea what she thought, where she was at with that word.
Yeah.
Have you ever been called a slut?
Yes, because in eighth grade, I was the first of our grade and group to
do it.
Do the coitus.
The coitus. Did you just say coitus?
I did. She always says coitus.
Yes.
I didn't expect coitus to ever be on our podcast.
So you were...
Was
it a funny slut between your friends, or like the school was like, oh, you're a slut?
Oh, yeah, no, the school was like, you're a slut.
Dang.
I was easy, but then, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
I beat up my ex, and all of those disappeared.
Good. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Volume 1 and The Ethical Slut has different bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
So we might hit different ones because this time we were touching on pleasure. So yeah. Kind of like if you look on your book, pleasure's not going to be the first thing you go off of.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's where the free banter gets to come in through, and the talking is that we're following the book, but we're kind of following it
loosely.
Loosely as and where we want it to go.
Yeah.
So my question is,
dun, dun, dun.
For the audience, again, we've gotten our answers. It's pretty much answered. I want to know if you let yourself pursue pleasure freely, or do you feel guilt for having these pleasures?
Hmm.
See, I feel like you've kind of answered it already, so I'm waiting. Yeah.
I feel like for me, the only guiltiness that I have is when I'm out at a party and somebody else is watching my kid. Like, that's the only guilt that I would have. The mom guilt.
Mom guilt is so freaking real.
I would say no, I don't have guilt in seeking pleasure in however I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're even getting to talk, add a little, another layer that maybe some other podcasts don't get to do, is because we have kids, and our kids, little lady is only 4. So, you know, we've got time before she understands what's happening. But we've got an 11 and 13 year old. And while they are still very immature in a lot of ways and don't understand it, they know because of us being open, not sexually, but open with our children and communicating with them about it, that not only are they getting to experience seeing that it's going to be okay, they're getting to experience that there are other people in the world that are out there doing it that will love them, that it just kind of makes their village grow more. I think that's something. I mean, think about, I'm trying to think, a different kid. I mean, okay, Claremore family.
Mm-hmm.
They know about Aunt Heather and Uncle Cody, to, you know, the same point that our kids do. But mom and stepdad are way monogamous, you know?
Yeah.
But they're still going to get a chance to see, like, I feel like they're going to have a better chance at not being super judgmental.
Well, yeah, because they're going to see the way that their mom and stepdad interact with us.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We are totally...
We're still people. Just because we like banging others doesn't mean, like... Yeah,
exactly.
So, anyway, that's what I was thinking.
And I will say, like, for me, like, the pursuing pleasure with guilt thing, for me, it's still learning that even after all of these years in the lifestyle, that we are allowed to do that, right? So, like, I could look at you and tell you, like, hey, after this podcast, I want to bend her over the couch.
Yeah.
And, whoa. But in that same vein, like, I almost feel guilty saying that because, like, you're my wife, right? I'm not supposed to think those things, but I can.
Yeah.
And so there's like a weird discourse in my brain.
Yeah.
It has to do with me still unlearning things that, sure, I've grown up knowing the entire time. Right. So it's a weird feeling. It's not necessarily guilt, but that I think discourse. There's a word that I'm looking for and I don't know what it is, but there's this weird thing in my brain that it is. It's not necessarily guilt. It's just strange. You know what I mean? So, okay.
I mean, are we good? I mean, I have a couple questions for this. Like, I tried to expand different ones about pleasure. Yeah,
if you want to keep going, keep going.
Okay. Well, I just, last time we did it so long and...
Now, just keep in mind that, like, we got to go get kids here before too long.
Like 15 minutes. Okay. There we go. I want to do another question. Haley, when was the last time you chose pleasure? Something big or small. It doesn't even have to be sexual. Without apology. Without guilt.
I guess the last karma thing.
Yeah? What'd you do there? What did you partake in? Pleasure-wise?
Hung out with the girl.
Yeah? Okay. The girl. I won't embarrass her more. We'll get it later when we get to that party down the road.
Yeah.
Cody, what about you?
I think, honestly, it was... It's probably been with this one here.
Yeah.
Here at the house, you know, and knowing that I have the ability to, you know, pin her in the bathroom and corner where she can't get away from anywhere and, you know, kind of take advantage of her.
Welcome to the Roosters.
But having that freedom, like I said, there is still that weird thing in my brain where it's like, should I be doing this? But then at the same time, it's like, yes, I can. And yes, she encourages it. And yes, she's the one that told me to come back here in the fucking first place, yeah. You know? So, yeah.
But that's also because you're a good boy.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
Okay. What about, let's see. What do you think prioritizing pleasures makes you more present in your relationships, or do you find it hard to balance with your responsibilities?
That's a good question. I think it makes me more attentive to what you want. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Now, whenever we have just like quickies or something like that, obviously it's just, you know, knocking things out and going about our day.
But yeah.
If we get the chance to really pursue a time of pleasure,
yes,
I'm more in tune to what you want out of that than I am worried about myself feeling pleasure, because I know that I'm going to feel it.
Yeah,
I feel pleasure from giving it to you. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that pursuing those pleasures is it makes me a better lover, it makes me a better husband, a better friend, things like that. So
Haley, floor to you.
Repeat the question, please.
Sure. So the question was, do you think prioritizing pleasure makes you more present in your relationships, or do you find it hard to balance with like your everyday responsibilities?
Like sexual pleasure or just pleasure?
I think pleasure all around. I
mean, she looked away from the mic, but she asked sexual pleasure or pleasure all around.
Oh, gosh, I didn't want the listeners to think I'm dumb.
Oh, no. Girl, you heard mine. You heard me ask so many times. What did I say? And completely forget.
I would say it helps me be a better person in finding pleasures or joy in everything I do. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about earlier, I want to find joy and pleasure in teaching her and showing her and helping her learn.
What
and
time is that?
58 minutes.
Different things like that.
I did. Don't worry. Too. I did it last season.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
Oh, damn it. Did I say her name?
Yeah. It's real easy.
That's why I asked where was she at so I could go write it down.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it when I said it.
It's totally fine.
Well, because I would talk about it with them, and then it was when the clown was still here. They would both be like, ugh, because they'd have to go back and do
it. Because you said it one time. She would say it about 16 times, and I would have to go find them like in the episode.
Like three.
So it would take 15 minutes of editing and turn it into 2 hours of editing.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You are fine. Oh,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Get out of here. So let's see. Let me get another one, and then
you probably got time for one more.
Okay. 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 Keep talking. Don't let it go blank. Hold on.
Yeah, that air is bad.
Big booty bitches.
Okay. So how would your life look different if you treated pleasure as an essential need versus it being more of like an optional one?
I do. I know that I need to feel pleasure, whether that's sexual or otherwise, in order to remain sane. So yeah, it's essential for me to have that. Okay. So I already do that.
Okay. Haley?
I think I agree with Cody. Really, to live life and be happy in life, you got to find the pleasures in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I know you said only one more, but we did have an email come through.
Yeah.
It says, I grew up in a super religious home where pleasure was basically a dirty word. I still struggle shaking the guilt when I do something that's just for me. What's your advice?
So it's all going to depend on how you look at it, right? Look at whatever you're doing. If you feel guilt from the activity that you are partaking in, figure out why you feel that guilt. Is it a cultural thing? Is it something that you've been taught your entire life? Is it something that maybe you shouldn't be doing?
Or right? Something that you found out isn't really your gig.
Yeah.
It's okay to not know and be like, oh yeah, I don't want to do that again.
To answer that question though, it all depends on why you're feeling that shame. But for me, like if it's a cultural thing or it's something that you've been taught, it's about what you do after. Right? Aftercare for yourself is just as important as aftercare for your lovers, for, yes, you know, whatever you got going on. So when you do this activity and you feel this pleasure, if it's a cultural thing or something that you've been taught, you have to tell yourself, hey, what I just did is good. What I just did made me happy. What I just did was exciting.
Yeah.
What I just did made my heart pump. What I just did was living life.
Or even on the other side of it, did I hurt anybody?
Yeah.
Did my partaking in this event affect my children? Right. Did blah, 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 blah. Because at least for me, like those are some of the voices that are always on my head. Mom guilt. Haley mentioned it earlier. And you know how bad I struggle with it.
Yeah.
You're looking at the time again. Okay, go. Finish what your thought was.
Did you lose what you were saying?
Well, yeah.
I was just burping.
Oh, okay. Haley, what about you? it was our write-in. So it was, I grew up in a super religious home where pleasure was basically a dirty word. I'm still trying to shake the guilt when I do something that's just for me. What's your advice?
I really don't know because I did not grow up in a religious home.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. I did. Yeah. Super religious. Been all of them.
No, my parents were very, be what you want to be. So, like, for my brother, he was Christian. And mm-hmm. for me, like, I really wanted to be Buddhist. So, mm-hmm. they took me to a Buddhist church.
Mm-hmm. That's
awesome.
And they
took my brother to, like, just a regular old church.
Yeah.
That's actually really fucking cool.
Did you
keep up with it? Yeah, they're
cool sometimes.
Did you keep up with it?
Yeah. So, like, basically, Buddhism, for me, because it is a philosophy more than a religion, is basically the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I think my biggest advice is healing's going to start when you forgive yourself, when you give yourself permission to, that's not what I meant, to give yourself permission to live in the moment.
Yeah.
That it doesn't always have to be about your partner. It doesn't always have to be about your kids. It doesn't, you know, it's okay.
As long as you're not, as long as your actions don't negatively affect anybody, you're good.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay. So I think that's a tie. I mean, it's 2:50. Yeah, we're going to have to go get the kiddos.
Yep. So we've talked about all of our events that you guys have missed. We are going to keep making events. We already have an event lined up that we're going to talk about sometime soon. Actually, two events we've got lined up that we're going to talk about sometime soon. We've got lots more stuff to get to. We have got a lot of really exciting content for you guys coming up in the following weeks. We're going to try to be every Friday at midnight. We're going to try to release a new episode, and I say try. There are going to be some times where it might not happen, but we're going to try like hell to make it happen. We had a guest on today. She will be back in some next future week, episodes, yep, probably next week. And I will continue to try to make her as uncomfortable as I possibly can because I like making her blush.
Yes, you do, good boy.
Stop it right now. But yeah, this has been a really fun episode. I like this a lot. Do you have anything else you want to leave them with, babe?
That I know it's hard choosing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you deserve, or I deserve, good things.
Right.
However that comes.
Mm-hmm.
Past, future, whatever it is, you deserve it. And I think people don't know that sometimes.
Yeah, I love that. That was a very good message. Haley, you got anything you want to leave them with?
Y'all are baddies. Remember that.
I like it. Well, to close out like I do every week, I'm going to say this. Love yourself because we love you. Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.